You are tuned in to Vectis Radio, the island's community station, and I'm Andy Knight. Clues in the name there, the Andy Knight Radio Show with you through until one. Particularly excited. 2 weeks to go till the Isle of Wight Festival. Cannot wait. And I think John is probably practicing the weather this weekend for us to get it right. And if we're lucky enough, on the other end of the phone at the moment, speaking to me live, is Mr. Isle of Wight Festival himself, John Giddings. Very good morning, John.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm fine. Absolutely fine. How are you, sir?
Excellent. I'm looking forward to 2 weeks' time having one of the best festivals we've had so far and praying for the weather.
Well, I think that you've probably got everything in place that you can do. I see no reason why both those things shouldn't come true, sir.
Thank you.
No, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on. And I mean, for most of us, of course, the excitement is building for the next 2 weeks. And I know that you're one of the biggest music fans I know anyway. So I'm sure it is for you. But this is the end of a long journey coming up to 2 weeks till kickoff. When do you actually start putting something like this together?
Well, I have to tell you, I've already started putting together 2017.
Because really?
As soon as you finish booking one, you start obsessing about the next one.
Right.
All I ever get is people saying, how are you going to beat what you did last year?
Yeah.
When you've had the Rolling Stones, the Foo Fighters, Muse, Coldplay, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
People always say, well, who are we going to get? And then I get Fleetwood Mac. And then after you have Fleetwood Mac, everybody says, who are you going to get next? It's like it's a noose around your neck, but it's a very enjoyable noose.
Well, yeah, I can see that. But I mean, literally trying to top yourself every year like that with another act, it must be terribly hard. But I mean, you do it. You still manage to do it. So it's amazing. Absolutely fantastic. If I can just go back in time a little bit with you, John, to begin with.
Okay,
back, take you back
you
in
time.
You
know more than most people. Certainly.
I do. And it all will become clear. No, just to... I mean, I know everyone knows you, of course. But... I mean, back in the day, you started off at university in Exeter, of course, with Ent's chairman there, booking some really name acts at the time. I mean, you really got into the big time even then, back at uni, didn't you? I mean, you were getting Genesis.
I knew that if you became social secretary at a college, then you had a good chance of meeting people in the music business.
Sure.
So I went to university purely to become social secretary in the music business. I didn't even know what I was studying. I did philosophy and sociology, which I still don't know what they are, to be honest. But I had the best time. So anybody listening in should stop working as long as physically possible. Be a student for as long as you can. It's
there you
brilliant.
Go. Careers advice as well. What more could you want? Fantastic. But what I'm interested in, really, John, because, I mean, going back to the mid-70s when I met you, because I will just mention it, because a great new wave or punkish band that you were in, The Strand, you were bass in that, and my wife at the time, Josephine Buchan, was on frontline vocals on that, and I used to be a sound engineer at
That's
the time.
Right. She was a great singer, actually.
Very good
great
indeed.
Great singer.
You might want to just say, give her a quick shout out. I believe she's listening. So,
please, Joe, I'd love to hear from you. It'd be fantastic. Have you got any tapes?
No, they were all destroyed in the interests
exactly.
of art, I think. No, not true. But what I mentioned that for partly is because going back in time there. But I mean, you really, when you went to MAM, when you started your agency career in the mid 70s, I mean, it was really the time of punk. And of course, you really hit straight away into the punk scene and started what has been really a lifelong relationship with dear Iggy Pop, of course.
Well, I was just really lucky that I turned up in London the same time as the Summer of Punk, really.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I rented a flat in West Kensington, walked across the road to a pub which is now called the Three Kings, it was called the Nashville, and the Sex Pistols were playing. I was blown away. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. It was incredible.
So you caught them like kind of one of their debut kind of gigs there?
It was one of the gigs they were allowed to play. After that, they got banned from everywhere.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, punk was what really kicked you off in the agency business because of the timing when you came to London, just that.
Well, it was great because you could pick up a band on a street corner like the Adverts, X-Ray Specs, and they had hit singles immediately.
Mm.
You know, and I got involved with the Stranglers, Iggy Pop, the Ramones. I mean, the Ramones were the most definitive band ever. They were extraordinary. And, you know, God bless their souls. They're all dead now, but they were...
Yeah.
Johnny Ramone came out with a classic comment when we were doing a radio interview one day. They said, what do you think of John Lydon, Johnny Rotten? He said, listen, he was still miming in the mirror when we were doing gigs. Best put down ever.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, punk kind of kicked you off in the agency business. Then, of course, you set up on your own in solo with your agency and promotion. And you just have had, I mean, I don't wish to indicate anything other than the fact it's been pure hard work, but I mean, you have had an extraordinary journey at the very top end, really at the forefront of international music. I mean, the list would take us 20 minutes to go through in terms of what you've done. But just having a look at a couple of things here. I mean, back in 2008, you had three of the five top-selling concert tours around the world. That was Madonna, Celine Dion and The Police, I think you recall. 2009, you had three of the top-grossing tours of the previous decade in the 2000s with The Stones, U2 and Madonna. Yeah. I mean, this is just extraordinary stuff. I mean, you really do manage the big stuff. And how do you find time to do that and run a festival?
Well, I didn't start running the festival till, when was it?
2001
was the first. Yeah, 2002 was the first festival. This is our 15th year. But, you know, people don't believe it when I say the festival is my hobby. My real job is doing tours for groups around
the
world.
Now, that's interesting. So, I mean, you really would put it that way, that your daytime job is managing tours and promotion. And the festival, you say, is a hobby.
Absolutely. I don't like golf and I don't like gardening. What else am I going to do? The Isle of Wight's one of the most beautiful places on God's earth. You provide entertainment for 50,000 people in the field. They come down and, you know, you hang out for a weekend, have a great time.
Sure.
It's the best thing I've ever done, because when you do a tour with U2 or the Rolling Stones, they tell you what stage they're going to bring, what the pass system is going to be. They dictate everything. When you run your own festival, you invite the bands you love, pay them millions of pounds, and invite your mates.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest party you can possibly have.
Brilliant. Oh, that's really interesting that you put it in that way, because, I mean, as you say, it's the 15th festival now. I mean, 2002, of course, our dear council ran it, and you took over in 2003 from, you know, you rescued a sinking ship after its revival for 1 year, pretty much, and it was a bit iffy whether it was going to continue at all. But you salvaged it, literally, rebuilt it. And branded it, and it's just gone on and on. I mean, can you see yourself, you call it a hobby, can you see yourself maintaining this this level of activity, you know, for the next few years?
I've got absolutely no idea. As long as I've got bands willing to play, and as long as I've got an audience that want to come, I can't see myself stopping. But you never know what's going to happen. I mean,
sure,
it's incredible, and I want to keep the integrity of it and keep it where it is. I don't want to drop down from that level. I'd rather not do it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, I think that's important. You use that word there in the integrity of the festival, because I know that, I mean, you and I are both veterans of the 1970 Afton Festival, which was an extraordinary event and still lives very strongly in the memory. But, I mean, you've rebranded but still built on that heritage, which I think is so important, and it's clearly something that's very central to what you do with the festival.
Well, I'm an old hippie at heart, and, you know, we were there in 1970, and that's where I get all the ideas for the artwork from, and that's what I'm obsessed by. Jimi Hendrix as well, and saw him. I mean, it wasn't his best performance ever, but the fact we saw him is extraordinary, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The only good thing about being older is you know more.
Yeah.
And we lived the golden age of rock and roll by seeing all those bands in their heyday, the Doors, you know. Extraordinary.
I mean, it was purely accidental, of course, if you like, in a time sequence, but what a joy to have been there at that time, absolutely. But, I mean, just going back to some of the awards that you've got, if I may, and I don't want to embarrass you with these, but, I mean, the apart from your promotions work and the agency, the festival itself, I mean, it's just, again, a huge list. I couldn't possibly even begin to read out all the, but, I mean, just recently, best major festival, outstanding contribution yourself personally to UK festivals. Of course, Fleetwood Mac last year, headline performance of the year at the UK Festival Awards.
They deserved it as well.
They did too.
An incredible performance.
Absolutely brilliant. I've just got to ask you about this one, which...
Go on.
I'm interested about two or three times over the last decade, the International Live Music Conference have awarded you the second least offensive agent
and
award.
And I can never work that out. I never know who's the least. I think the guy that runs it, a guy called Martin Hopewell, is the least offensive agent. It's an amusing award to get from your peers, really.
Yes, but I had to mention it. Sorry about that. But just coming back to this year's festival, John, I mean, and apart from the acts, and I mean, again, there's no point in reading the list because it's just extraordinary and goes on and on with what I'm pleased to say, and you're very keen on, of course, local talent featured as well, which is very important to you, I know, for how much you do for supporting Ireland talent. But every year you seem to have innovations around the actual the vibe of the festival itself, as you say, maintaining the heritage of 1970 with the artwork and the posters and so on, which is wonderful. But you've got a lot of new things happening this year. I mean, you've got a new live app, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the people came to us and made a proposal, and we thought it was a good idea. I think you're forever exploring. Like I say about having a hobby, you've got so many different things you can do to expand that hobby with the artwork, with the app. There's always something going on. We're approving the merchandising today, which is a job unto itself. But it all comes together in that field in 2 weeks' time, and it takes a year to put it all together.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
The work that goes into it from my team is extraordinary, but they love it. They absolutely love it.
Well, I think that, I mean, that shows, obviously, I mean, you lead from the front with that passion for it, which is very important, and then it kind of is a trickle-down through your team, obviously, and they all have that same enthusiasm and just a focus on what it actually is all about, what it means, which is wonderful.
I tell you, the thing I really like about it is discovering new talent, because we all know who the Who are, we all know who Queen are, the Stereophonics, Faithless. But 3 months after the event, people come to me and say, blimey, I saw this group called Blossoms in the Big Top and they were really good. And you know, and at the time nobody knows who they are.
Yes. Yeah.
But I can already see people looking up all these groups on social networking and saying, oh, Bang Bang Romeo, they're really good. And you know, it's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. It's the best job in the world, actually.
Well, I mean, you say that, and it comes across as clearly something you enjoy so passionately. You know, your enthusiasm is laudable. It really is. It's extraordinary. I mean, you're an old chap like me. I can say that because we're the same age. But in fact, I think our birthdays are about a week apart. But you know, you've still got that kind of youthful buzz about what you do, and.
We're the only festival that don't do it to make money. We do it for entertainment. As long as we don't lose money, we'll keep doing it. But it's, as I say, it's a hobby, it's a toy to play with. And any money we do make, we invest back into it. Like we built roads into the car park and
sure.
stuff. You know, the Rolling Stones said to me, why did you book us when you'd already sold out? I thought, if I got run over on Monday morning, at least I brought the Rolling Stones to the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that what you just said there, I think, is really, really important and bears repetition, because you're saying that it's not a commercial event, and that is the difference, isn't it? And I think that shows.
Good. I'm pleased that comes across, because we take a lot of time and effort in putting that across to people. And sometimes people say to me, oh God, you're making a fortune, and that's why you're doing it. That's not why I'm doing it, believe you me. All the hours God made wouldn't reward you financially for this. It's my own baby, and it's something I put my heart and soul into.
Yeah, well, that is so important, and I mean, it really is evident in everything that you say and do, and that is wonderful, and more power to you. If I can just come back to a couple of the new things surrounding the festival, new events and things you've got going on. I'm intrigued by this live show, The Loudest Silent Movie, Gutter Dammerung. What is that all about?
Okay, this guy, through Iggy Pop, I found out about that.
Okay.
Because he's in the movie, Slash is in the movie, Josh Homme from the Queens of the Stone Age,
and Lemmy's in there as well, isn't he?
Yeah, Lemmy's in it too. Yeah. It comes from, remember those silent movies at the flicks, that there used to be a guy playing a piano,
yeah.
and you know, doing the soundtrack to it. This is basically the loudest silent movie you've ever heard, because behind the movie is the loudest rock band. It's actually the Iggy Pop band with a different singer.
Oh.
And they come out at the end and they do Led Zeppelin songs. You've got to come and see it.
Oh, wow.
People absolutely, if you like hard rock, you will love Gutter Dammerung.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
After that, we then got Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue playing. So,
oh, great.
For the heavy metal fans, you're in the Big Top on Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon, excellent stuff. So all this information, of course, with the stage splits and timings, is on your new live app for the festival. And also, I see, is this a reference to MacArthur's Park, the old Richard Harris classic? MacArthur's Supermarket. You've got a supermarket on site this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like there's Penny Lane, there's Strawberry Fields.
Yeah.
I love making references.
Yeah.
The arches have got the Piper at the Gates. You know, if you're 18, you don't know what that means. But to me, it was the first Pink Floyd album.
Sure.
So I make references all the way through, Hey Joe Bar and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's just something I grew up with and something I feel part of.
Mm, Well, that heritage, you know, I mean, you are kind of almost single-handedly, I would say. I mean, there are a few other notable people who you and I both know here on the island, particularly out Dimbola way, out Freshwater Bay, my neck of the woods, that maintain, you know, I actually look out from my house now over the Afton site, which is glorious. I see it every morning. It's just wonderful. But there are people still maintaining that. And, of course, a lot of us locals, us old guys, we still remember it. But you really are still keeping that alive, because it was so important. And obviously there are a lot of young people going, oh, here they go, off again, the old boys. But it really was the first and biggest time that this thing happened, wasn't it?
I think the Isle of Wight is like a hidden secret. I think the history in that island is absolutely extraordinary, from Charles I, Queen Victoria, Jimi Hendrix. I mean, that's why we erected that statue at Dimbola Lodge, to look over the original site. I walked there the other day. I walked the White 27 miles.
Yes, of course you did. Yeah, well done.
I was sunburnt on my left-hand side. That was quite amusing.
You could have done half of it backwards and then you got a nice even 10.
Did, yeah, I wondered about going backwards. But the worst bit is you walk up Tennyson Down, you get to the monument, and there's still 3 miles
I
to
know.
Go. It's like
killer.
Goes on forever.
Yeah, but very well done. And talking of Walk the White and the charity there, I know it's how dear to you charities are. And, of course, you've got a new charity partnership with Stand Up to Cancer associated with this year's festival, haven't
That's
you?
That's right. Well, I represented David Bowie for 30 years, and his last ever UK gig was the Isle of Wight Festival. Mm. He died of cancer, very sadly. So our charity this year is Stand Up to Cancer. Last year, we did World Child and we sold Jimi Hendrix masks, and we
That's right, yes.
5,000 and sold them in 10 minutes. So this year we're going to do an Aladdin Sane mask and sell it, and we're going to have a special tribute to David on the main stage, which I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen.
Okay.
It's going to be a moment in time.
Oh, that sounds absolutely amazing. Absolutely wonderful. Well, very exciting.
He's as important in the world as Johann Sebastian Bach or somebody like that.
Absolutely.
He will go down in history as one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, a genius in you know, it's a bandied about word which is often wrongly used, but I think he really was a genius creatively.
It's so funny, because I didn't realise when I was watching him on Top of the Pots with all those clothes, I thought his mum made them. It was like the cutting edge of Japanese art.
Yes. Yes. Brilliant.
David, I love that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I cried when I found that out. It was tragic.
Yeah, very much so. Very far too soon, far too soon. But what an extraordinary legacy, though, that he's left for us, really. And I know younger people now are still rediscovering it. And so we'll look forward with interest to Sunday afternoon, was that, John?
Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon, I beg your pardon.
Sunday afternoon is the Queen's birthday, 90th birthday.
Ah, yes, of course. Yeah, absolutely. And headlining by Queen with Adam Lambert, and of course some great big names. I was going to ask you who you're particularly looking forward to, but that might be a wrong question. I personally would very much look forward. Jess Glynn, of course. Everything I'm very into at the moment.
Yeah.
I like them a lot. Iggy, of course, goes without saying. Ocean Colour Scene as well. Great to see them come back.
Well, they're doing the whole of their album, mostly shows. That's why I booked them.
Yeah, brilliant.
I mean, it's difficult to pin. You know, if I get to see one or two songs by people, I'm lucky.
I was going to say, do you actually get to see any of the acts yourself, or are you just herring around?
I'm always moving around the site and always catch glimpses of people. Hmm. But then, like on the Monday, I suddenly remember somebody I really wanted to see, and I completely, absolutely, utterly missed them, or I saw them in the backstage and introduced myself to them. The job over the weekend, if you've done your job properly, you're just firefighting by that stage of the game. You know, people have individual problems and you have to solve them.
Mm.
But it's a wonderful thing to do. And, you know, you get pop stars turning up, want to be entertained, and people flying in helicopters. There's always something going on. Mm. Always something.
But you clearly feed off that buzz. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't do it. I mean, I guess it would be too much to take on if you just really didn't enjoy it as much as you clearly do.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy stress. I remember that bad year we had when the car park.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
And someone said to me at 2 o'clock in the morning, why aren't you worried about it? I said, well, actually, it's a problem to solve, isn't it? Someone has to do it. That's the job, isn't it?
Mm. Well, that's got you where you are, that kind of attitude, John, and I can only applaud you on that. Amazing. And I really would thank you so much once again for joining us this morning here on Vectis Radio. It's an absolute pleasure to have a natter with you.
You're welcome.
And of course, I don't need to wish you luck for 2 weeks' time when everything kicks off, because everything's in place. You're in charge. What could possibly go wrong? It'll be brilliant.
Listen, thanks for your support. I appreciate it, Andy.
Not at all. You're very, very welcome. And as I say, thank you very much for joining us. That's Mr. Isle of Wight Festival, John Giddings here, live on Vectis Radio.